What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It is time to go to the guest line this morning, and it's a sort of, the way I understand it, bit of a butterfly effect thing here, where there are regulations with tech companies in the EU, in the European Union, that end up affecting us here and could end up affecting you and your paycheck and your 401k and your tax bills. It's a little convoluted, but to talk about what is actually going on here and how it does affect you is Trevor Wagoner, who is the CCIA's chief economist, and that is the Computer and Communications Industry Association. Trevor is with us here on KMOX. How you doing, Trevor?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing great. So let's start with that. Let's explain to people what is actually going on. What are we talking about in terms of these European Union regulations of companies like Apple and Google and how it then affects us here? And we may not realize it.
Certainly. So there's been an explosion in EU regulation of U.S. tech companies. Beginning around 2015, back then there were just two pieces of EU digital regulation and they were only a couple dozen pages long. Fast forward just a decade later and there are now over 16 distinct digital regulations with over 900 pages of text. And the costs of complying with all of these rules really add up. We partnered with academics to estimate the costs and found they're as high as about $100 billion per year, which is obviously very, very significant. These are big companies that employ a lot of Americans. And they don't just affect the employees of those companies, although obviously those are the most directly impacted folks, because most of the companies that are targeted by these EU regulations are traded on the S&P 500, which gets tracked by most index funds. Put all these rules together, and these EU rules are costing S&P index funds about 5% of their values. They're really dragging down U.S. retirement funds, pension plans, and just ordinary savers' investments.
Yeah, the study or the way you've published your report on this study is aptly named the $97 billion problem you've never heard of. And I really hadn't until this was brought to my attention through your work that the regulations that we talk about in the EU, well, those are directly affecting maybe your 401k or your retirement plan. Can you give a specific example of a regulation? This is the regulation that passed, and this is how it's affecting companies that affect our pocketbooks?
Oh, certainly. So probably the most prominent of the EU digital regulations, and there are 16 now, but the most famous one is the Digital Markets Act. And that's a very prescriptive piece of regulation, requires U.S. Tech companies operating in Europe to really change how they do business, imposes a wide array of limitations on business practices, and really forces companies to rewrite core elements of their apps and online experiences in ways that have taken a huge amount of staff time to try to implement. Probably the biggest issue with the DMA is that it's really impossible to know whether or not you're complying, because what happens is you invest a lot in compliance, and then a few months later, you get told by your Union regulators, guess what? We don't think you've gone far enough. You need to go further. So sort of the required staff time and investments never end. And hanging over your head the entire time, like a sword of Damocles, is this risk that they could fine you 10% of your global revenue, for violations that they're alleging in Europe. So even if your European business is only a small fraction of your revenues, they can come after you for a full 10% of global turnover. And we've seen some very large fines with other EU regulations thus far. So companies are taking this very seriously.
So a lot of these regulations, as I understand it, are antitrust regulations, which I think inherently are a good thing, are they not? So how is it that those regulations that are, you know, trying to protect people end up hurting us here? Where is that discrepancy happening?
So I would say that framing it as antitrust, it's a common framing, but it kind of undersells the extent of the regulations. There are antitrust elements. There are also very prescriptive elements that just sort of tell companies how they have to design their apps, design their websites, all of that, that are simultaneously prescriptive while also not necessarily having a clear safe harbor, which is to say that just because a rule comes through that says you can't do X and you have to do Y, that's not always as easy as it sounds when it comes to actually coding an actual customer experience or website. It's easy to write in legalese. It's difficult to execute. And that's where a lot of the difficulty comes in. So even with good intentions, and many of these rules do come from a place of good intentions, the unintended costs can be absolutely enormous when it comes to, you know, about $2.2 billion per year in just direct compliance costs. Tens of billions of dollars per year in lost revenues because all of these redesigns end up reducing revenue streams for the companies that comply, and tens of billions more in fines that are being threatened that are very, very plausibly going to be imposed despite the fact that they're investing so much in trying to comply.
Is it one of those issues that is just a trade-off, like one of the many trade-offs? I mean, whether it's politics or commerce or the economy, there's always going to be trade-offs. And it's like, okay, yes, the European regulations are costing these companies billions of dollars, but the only other alternative would be to pull out of those markets, which would hurt the companies way more than the regulations.
So that there are other alternatives, and this has actually come up in some of the trade talks between the United States and the EU. A lot of what industry is pushing for is simply a more reasonable set of expectations around the enforcement of these rules. Right now, there's a very strong incentive to sort of hit fast and hit hard with very large penalties, even if a company is making a demonstrably good faith effort to comply. And just bringing down some of these initial fine amounts and giving more time to actually come into compliance would do a lot to really lessen the potential impact here. That 10% of global turnover threshold is sort of a big, big point of contention because really, you know, if you're talking about many of these companies, you know, the European Union is not their biggest market. They do not want to pull out of the European Union because it's still a sizable market. It's a major point of market access importance for U.S. trade and U.S. digital exports, which are a key export driver for the United States. And we don't want to lose market access. So, you know, what we want to do is come to a modus vivendi with Europe where we can say, you know, we want to comply, you know, work with us to comply. Don't threaten us with multi-billion dollar fines over very minor disagreements in terms of, you know, very sincere compliance efforts.
As this does end up affecting Americans, whether directly or indirectly, is there something that people can do about it, or is this largely out of our hands?
So I would say, you know, in terms of what the United States as a whole can do, it's very much focusing on this in the ongoing trade talks with the European Union. We have a framework so far, but a lot of the details on the digital side are still being decided. When it comes to ordinary users, it's a classic issue where you can, you know, write to your congressman or give them a call and ask them whether or not they've, you know, reached out to the White House about making sure that addressing these issues is covered in ongoing discussions with the European Union, because again, it's an important trading relationship. We know the details are still being worked out, and we're optimistic that a mutually agreeable outcome can be come to.
You mentioned the ongoing conversations with the European Union. Obviously, with this administration, there's been a lot of discussion and negotiations regarding tariffs and trade and so forth. But this particular conversation, did this start with the Trump administration? Did it start with the Biden administration or even before that?
So as I said, this really began about in 2015, so the very end of the Obama administration, but it's really been escalating across time. We saw a huge uptick in the first Trump administration, a continued major uptick through the Biden administration, and there's really no sign of it slowing down in the Trump administration. The European Union has a long list of additional laws and regulations they want to bring down that would disproportionately target U.S. tech companies, the same way that they've targeted them through the DMA. Using very often the exact same threshold. So if we don't sort of get them to move away from this model in which they're specifically targeting U.S. companies, there could be some additional pain suffered by U.S. companies, U.S. employees, and reductions in U.S. exports. So it's definitely a top-tier issue that we want to address in these trade talks.
You mentioned, what was the number? You had a number of certain regulations that were the more well-known ones, like 12 or 16. What was the number of regulations you mentioned?
So we went from two back in 2015 to 16 as of the end of 2024, and there are several more in the pipeline. So that number is continuing to grow unless we get the European Union to take a different tack.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It's interesting that they began those conversations in 2015 when there were only two. Were they just anticipating that a lot more regulations would be implemented?
So as additional regulations were proposed, it became a definite source of ongoing discussions between the U.S. and the European Union, because it became very apparent that many of these rules were being designed in such a way that they would specifically target U.S. companies, often by setting these very high global revenue thresholds such that local companies in Europe wouldn't be hit, but U.S. companies would be due to their global revenues, even if the European market size of their activities was relatively small. And that sort of discriminatory treatment has been a recurring feature of many of the rules in the European Union that really carve in most leading U.S. companies without necessarily hitting any or many European companies.
Trevor, you were at one point just a few years ago in the State Department as a chief economist there. And so as you have, you know, left that role and now with the CCIA, and you look at where we are in terms of our economy, the tariffs, you know, we were talking here about regulations, you know, we're trying to navigate artificial intelligence as well and what those regulations might look like, how it might affect the economy. What do you believe the overall health of our economy is right now?
So as of right now, the economy is actually doing fairly well. That's not to say that there aren't some challenges. Certainly, we've seen a bit of an uptick just this morning in producer prices, which can be a sign that inflation might be a bit of a problem. We certainly have a deficit that's a little bit larger than most economists would like to see. But all in all, the unemployment rate remains relatively low. And the U.S. position globally is fairly strong. There are some challenges out there. There are certain industries that are facing discriminatory treatment, including the U.S. tech industry facing some discrimination in Europe. But we start from a position of relative strength. That said, a lot can happen in a relatively short amount of time. And we are very aware that there are certain threats that are faced by the U.S. economy, particularly because when you already have a fairly strong economy that is starting to face some inflation, you can run into issues if unemployment starts to creep up and there isn't really any fiscal room for stimulus. And that's definitely something I know many economists are keeping an eye on.
Trevor, we appreciate the discussion today. Really good information, and thank you for educating us on this thing that most people don't know about. Mm-hmm. So we really do thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Trevor Wagner, the chief economist for the Computer and Communications Industry Association, visiting with us here on KMOX. You can follow him on Twitter at EconWags and, you know, to follow along his work. It's really, I had, like you said, Amy, no idea about any of this.
Yeah. No, nope.
So, yeah, now I feel a little smarter.
Well, good. I'm proud of you.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.